week. We have to finish out a series today called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned from Christmas. This is my favorite sermon of the four that I've prepared as we talk about our nativity rather than the Lord's nativity. I was around my older brother Friday. He should never tell a joke in his life because it just doesn't work. But he did make me smile. He's got a dry sense of humor. And I thought, well, I could use that Sunday to kick into my sermon because I didn't really have a good way to begin. He said, Mark, did you hear about the duck that walked into a feed store and asked for some duck feed? And the clerk said, no, there's no market for it. We don't carry duck feed. And the duck leaves, comes back the next day and says, do you got any duck feed? And the clerk says, no, we don't have duck feed. Told you yesterday, we ain't ever going to have duck feed. Stop asking. Duck leaves, comes back the next day. Says, do you have any duck feed? And the clerk says, listen, I told you already, there's no duck feed. There'll never be duck feed. If you ask me again, I'm going to nail your feet to the floor. Well, duck leaves, comes back the next day and asks, do you got any nails? And the clerk said, no. Do you got any duck feed? So I need to get my ducks in a row before I start the new year, and I think I can do that with this message today. Let me start this way. I remember the day I was born. I really do. No one believes me, but I really do. Now, it wasn't me who said that. It was Bill Loeffler who started an online discussion with the comment that he remembered the day he was born, and man, did people jump all over that. Here's some of the feedback from the online conversation. I do remember being born, but when I ask other people what they think, they try to tell me I don't remember. Here's another one. I told my mom the first thing I ever remember seeing was when I was lying on a table and looking at the window at the Williamsboro Bridge. My mom said, that's fantastic, because the only time I was in that situation, on that table, looking out that window at that bridge, was when I was born at home. Here's another one. I remember feeling crushed, seeing a bright light, and a man grabbing and pulling on me. Another one, I remember the day I was born, even though everyone tries to talk me out of it or questions me about it. I'm sticking to my guns. I remember the day I was born. Now, I wasn't a part of that online conversation, but if I was, I would have added my two cents for what it's worth. When I was born, I was so traumatized, I couldn't speak for 2 years after that. We've seen our share of nativities over the last month, and I'll tell you what Christmas has taught me. It's taught me that Jesus' nativity led to my nativity. So somebody tell me what nativity even means. Where do we get the word? You say it all the time. Nativity comes from two Latin words. You're familiar with both of them. Natal, birth and babies, and native. To a particular country or origin. Natal, native. And it might surprise you to know that around Christmas, it wouldn't surprise you to know that we wear out Matthew and Luke, seems like to me, and we rarely touch Mark and John. And I found no less than four nativities in the first chapter of John. I'll mention them to you, and then we're going to pick on one of those as we talk about being born again today. Nativity scene number one is found in John 1:1-5. It's the birth of creation. You can read all about it. Nativity scene number two is found in John 1:6. It's the birth of John the Baptist. Nativity number three is John 1:9-13. That talks about the new birth. Nativity scene number four is John 1:14 and following, and that's the birth of Jesus. It's number three that I want us to use today, the new birth. On this first Sunday after Christmas, I want to talk to you about your nativity, my nativity. And it's a scene that we read about in John 1:9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. It's an incredible passage. The old-time preachers had it right when they would bang on the pulpit and they would say, you must be born again. And after Jesus talks about that personal nativity we have, he gives us a living example of what that means as he encounters a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Check this out. Now, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are what, church? Born again. How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and of the Spirit." I love that phrase, born again. That phrase brings to mind certain images. It makes me think of those street corner prophets who hold up those signs, you know, the end is near, or Jesus is coming, or you're going to hell, or be born again. There was a barn not far from where we lived that had born again written on the side of it. I remember, I think it was Jimmy Carter, who was dubbed the first born again candidate on a Saturday Evening Post in April of 1977, talked about Jimmy Carter being a born again Christian. My dad had a hat that said born, he wore it out, and it said born again. And then I think of some of the high-profile stars and singers that have claimed to be born again. There's all kinds of baggage that's been attached to the phrase born again. Our little Church of Christ outside of Cross Plains, Indiana, when people would refer to our church and they were trying to tell somebody about us, they would say, "That's the church where the born-again Christians are." I never understood that, because I didn't know that Christian needed to be qualified that way. I thought if you were Christian, you were born again. I just assumed they meant the same thing. But I know that certain religions have certain symbols or things that describe the philosophy of that. A kindergarten teacher, for instance, gave her class a show-and-tell assignment, and she said, "Bring something religious or something to symbolize what your religion is." Well, a little guy named Benjamin stood in front of the class. He said, "I'm Benjamin, I'm Jewish, and this is the Star of David." And that's what he used. Second child got in front of the class and said, "My name is Mary, I'm Catholic, and this is a crucifix." Third little guy got in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, I'm Baptist, and this is a casserole." You see what I'm saying? And for our church, it'd be like, "Oh, you're the ones who are born again." Now, even when we sing our Christmas songs, we sing about this, but we never talk about it. How about this lyric from Hark the Herald Angels Sing? "Born to raise the sons of earth, born to what? Give them second birth." Let me do a little quick Bible study. This is where my mind went as I'm preparing this, and then we'll get real practical, I promise. Let me compare John 1 and John 3. First of all, now hang with me, this takes 60 seconds. First of all, we have a birth conversation. John 1, 13, "Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." John 3, verse 3, "Truly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So it's a birth conversation, but it's more than that. It's a flesh conversation. Check this out. John 1, 13, "Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." John 3, verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." So it's a birth conversation, it's a flesh conversation, it's a belief conversation. John verse 1 verse 12, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So it's a belief conversation, it's a flesh conversation, it's a birth conversation, and then it's a rejection conversation. John 1, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him." John 3, verse 19, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and man loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil." Now, if I've lost you in my little Bible study, let me get you back and say it this way. You can't really appreciate the nativity of Jesus until you understand that the nativity of Jesus led to your nativity. In other words, the Son of God became Son of Man so that sons and daughters of men could become children of God. can't do that through just a physical birth. So we go to this scene with Nicodemus. And preachers all over the place have tried to make a big deal about the fact that he came to Jesus at night. You've heard of Nick at Night? You have Nick at Night on your satellite dish? This was Nick at Night before Nick at Night. And the question is, why did Nick come at night? Here's some of the suggestions that scholars make. He was ashamed to be seen with Jesus during the day because he was a bigwig in the brotherhood. I don't think that's right. He could not sleep thinking about what he had seen Jesus do. Makes sense to me. He couldn't get near Jesus for a conversation during the day because people were always crowding around him. I think maybe it was the only time he thought he could have an uninterrupted conversation with this man named Jesus. A lot of things happen at night in the Bible. Interesting things. Job 35:10, God gives us songs in the night. If you're a songwriter, and we have a few in our church, believe it or not, if you're like me and the songs that I have written, most of those were when I was laying in bed and just rolling different lyrics through my head and didn't need to write them down because the next day they were still there. God gives us songs in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5, the Lord will come like a thief, not during the day. Thieves don't come during the day and they don't make appointments, right? He will come at night. Revelation 21:25, in heaven there will be no more night. I wonder about people who come to the Lord in the middle of the night. Through the years, I have offered this to people. Hey, if you're laying in bed in the middle of the night and you feel this conviction to repent of your sins, to be baptized, you call me, we'll meet at the church. Guess how many times through the years that I've been called between the hours of 1 and 4 in the morning to baptize somebody? You would think zero. Actually, four times. Four times. It was very cool. I was excited to get out of bed and go because the most important thing a church can do is see somebody come to Jesus. So I'll even up the ante. If it's between the hours of 1 and 4 in the morning, you call 812-797-2081 or 812-653-0535, and I'm sure Charlie or Jimmy will be happy to hear from you. And then after 6, you can have my number. Just kidding. We would all be happy to hear from you and meet you over here and be a part of your second birth. Now, Nicodemus says something to Jesus that sounds respectful, but I don't like it. And I can find fault with just about anything. It's in my nature. And maybe I'm making too much of this comment because it does sound respectful, but look at what he says. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. You see anything wrong with that? Let's start with the we know part. Who's the we while he's standing there alone talking to Jesus? I hate it when people do this. Well, Mark, they're all saying this. Well, who's they? Well, Mark, we think you... Well, who's we? Well, we think you use too many Kentucky jokes in your sermon. Who's the we? You and your spouse? You and the whole state of Kentucky? Who's the we? And I'm telling you, if I hear another politician say, well, the American people want this. Well, I'm American. I'm people. I rarely want what they're saying. Well, we have polled the American people. And the American people, anybody in here ever been polled like that? No. Why? They don't call people with common sense. That'll ruin the poll. The American, you all are Americans. You're people. I do not like it when somebody tries to couch themselves in numbers as if that increases their argument or debate or comment. We think, we say, well, Jesus didn't respond to him plurally. He said, dude, you need to be born again. My dad drilled Romans 14:12 into me when I was a kid. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Would it be cool for me if my mom and dad could stand there at judgment with me and say, God, Mark was a pretty good boy? I would love that. Or some of you all in my church could stand there and say, hey, he preached to us every week and he preached from the Bible. Lord, we can vouch for Mark. I would love that. Not going to happen. Because there is no we when it comes to salvation. There's only me. Me. What do I need to do? That's what you need to ask in regards to your salvation. And then he said this, and I know it sounds respectful, but it doesn't go far enough. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. What's wrong with that? Kind of shortchanges him a little bit, doesn't it? How about we know you are God who came to teach? Wouldn't that be a better way to say it? I was reading this, and it made me think, and I had to dig, and I found an article that I had saved years ago. I think actually it was the mid-90s. Katie Chandler was an incredible softball player in Central Ohio, pitcher, fast-pitch softball, and she was awesome. And her team, they traveled all over the country, but for some reason, a beer company wanted to sponsor her team, and they wanted their beer logo on front and center on the uniforms. And Katie Chandler, whose mom was killed by a drunk driver, said, absolutely not. I won't play if I have to wear that. You can appreciate her conviction, right? And she didn't. And they said, well, you don't wear the logo, you can't play. And she said, well, then I won't play. Well, it created a negative publicity the team didn't want. Plus, without Katie Chandler, the team did not win. And that got everyone's attention. So they made an exception and told her, you don't have to wear the logo. Well, then there were other kids that had seen Katie's conviction and said, well, we don't want to wear it either. If we have to wear it, we're not playing. So eventually, the whole team gave up the sponsorship, found money elsewhere, and nobody had to wear the logo. They interviewed Katie Chandler, the local paper did, and her comment has been preached throughout this land. What a testimony. She said this, I'm not a ball player who happens to be a Christian. I'm a Christian who happens to be a ball player. See the difference? Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Back up. Whole lot more than that. You are God who came to teach. And what did God come to teach? That no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. So Nicodemus struggles with this, and he's thinking, how am I? I'm an old man. I'm supposed to get back into my mother's womb. Be born a second time. If you tried to tell Rose Fugate that she had to go through that with me again, she would look at you like you had three heads and she'd want to hit all three of them. I've always pondered doing this, and my buddy in Kentucky beat me to it. He preaches at Southland in Lexington. Him and an elder went to a doctor's office. They knew the doctor, and they got hooked up to these wires that would simulate contractions through every period of giving birth. And there's video that I'm going to show you. And I've pondered me and Charlie doing this. Maybe for Mother's Day, but then I thought it might put him over the edge. So check out, my buddy John will be on the right.
Can we hold hands? I just wanted to be said that I love my mom and I love my wife and I'm very grateful. And I didn't need to go through this to prove anything, okay? I just want that to be said.
I've seen my wife give birth twice and I feel like I know what I'm in for a little bit.
First thing I'm going to do, I'm just going to slowly ramp it up, kind of get you guys to kind of get a feel. Okay. So what do you guys feel right now?
Kind of a lot of vibration.
Yeah, a lot of vibration, and my muscles are, it feels like they're being pulled like apart. Yeah. So what level is that?
So this is, intensity on this one is 20 right now.
And what's the high?
Well, we'll find out.
When we start hollering. Oh, I felt that. Oh.
Yeah, that's a lot more intense.
It is a lot more intense.
What are the breathing exercises?
Oh my gosh. Oh,
oh gosh. just wait. Just wait for that one.
I'm already sweating. Woo. I gotta go to a happy place in my mind. Ow! Oh my. Ow! Oh. I'm here for you.
Oh gosh.
I wanna punch you in the face so bad.
Hey, it might feel better. Oh no! Oh, here I go. Ow!
Why are we doing this? Mom, I love you. Allison, I love you so much.
I didn't learn this at Bible college.
You couldn't hear John because you were laughing. He said, I want to punch you in the face so bad. My mom would not want to go through that again. And Jesus makes it clear to Nicodemus, we're not talking about you doing that again. This is spiritual. The old preachers used to say, if you were born once, you die twice. If you were born twice, you die once. Little girl came to her mom and asked, where did I come from? Her mom, thinking she was too young to go into it, said, well, the stork brought you. She said, well, where'd you come from? She said, well, the stork brought me too. Well, how about grandma? Where'd she come from? Well, stork brought her too. Little girl put her hands on her hips and said, you mean to tell me there hasn't been a natural birth in this family in 3 generations? So let's do this. Let's make a comparison between the two births, because that's what Jesus wanted Nicodemus to see. So my inquiring ADD mind went all over the place with this. Here's 2 or 3 comparisons. I compared my first birth, which I don't remember, to my second birth, which I do. In both cases, they were a special event. It was the 28th day of August, 1961, at the Grandview Hospital in Dayton, Ohio, when Henry Logan and Willana Rose had a bouncing, beautiful 8-pound baby boy named Mark Allen. That's my actual birth certificate. Willana Rose, birthplace Ohio. Henry Logan, birthplace Kentucky, and he's proud of it. We were about to cross the bridge from Lawrenceburg into Kentucky when we were just little boys, and before we got on the bridge, Dad pulled the car over and made us get out. We thought we were in trouble. You never knew with him. So we stood there, and we looked across the river into Kentucky, and I said, what are we doing, Dad? He said, I just wanted to take a few moments to see what the children of Israel felt like when they looked into the promised land. When my parents took me to church for the first time, after being born, it was a big deal. People wanting to hold me, making those goofy baby noises that people lose their minds with as they talk to babies, passing me around like banana bread, smelling me, breathing all over me. It was a celebration. Everyone was so happy that I had been born. It was a special event. June 11th, 1972, 11 years later, my dad laid me under the... That's not accurate. My dad slam dunked me under the water, brought me up. And after I got dressed and came back out, everybody started clapping and flocked around me, and it was just like the day I was born. Everybody wanted to hold me, hug me, love all over me, because it was a special event. The day I was born, the first time, I knew someday I'm going to die. The second time I was born, I knew the new creation, it will never die. Special events. Here's another thought I had. When I compared my first birth and my second, I didn't have a past in either case. Is that not cool? There had never been a Mark Fugate before Mark Fugate. I had no past. I was born. It was just then and moving forward. No past. Let me see the hands of those of you who have done something in your life for which you are totally ashamed. Keep them up. Wow. I'm so disappointed in some of you. Sandy Scherzel even raised her hand. Can you believe that? We have all done things in our past that we hope to God nobody ever knows about. It's that old joke, Charlie was here. Pray for Charlie. They're not feeling great. He told me that Herman was driving down the highway and his phone rings and it's his wife Mabel, and she said, Herman, I just heard on the news there's a car going the wrong way on Interstate 77. You be careful. And Herman said, shoot, Mabel, it's worse than that. There are hundreds of them going the wrong way. Sometimes I think we think we're above the fray. What's that old gospel song? It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, right? Standing in the need of prayer. There are things that I have done that I never want you to find out about. There are things I've done that I don't want my Mama Rose to find out about. There are things that I've done in my delusional small-mindedness, thinking maybe God Almighty will never know about this. But when I was born, I had no past. No past to talk about. No past to be held against me. Nothing that I had done to be ashamed of. And when I was born the second time, all that past wiped away. Jimmy preached a good sermon on forgiveness about a month ago. And he took us all off the hook by telling us that we can forgive even though we remember, we don't forget. I'm glad he said that because that's exactly right. We're not instructed to forget. And I think the reason the Bible doesn't instruct us to forget is because God knows that we're not capable of forgetting. But that doesn't apply to God. And the Bible uses this phrase, and it's so cool because I equate forgetting with old age or busy-mindedness. Or some kind of character flaw. You forget. That's not a good thing. So how is it that God forgets? Well, this is a weird twist. But the Hebrew writer says it this way. For I will forgive their sins, their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. See the difference? I can do that. I can choose not to remember something. I can't forget, but I can choose not to remember. That's such a cool phrase. I'm choosing not to remember. That works for me. I didn't actually forget it. Chose not to remember it. God separated me from my past when I was born. I had no past when I was born, and he separated me from my past when I was born again. So if I'm ever tempted when I stand before God someday to start apologizing for all the wrong I've done, and I will be tempted to do that, Lord, I'm sorry about that time I lied in the fifth grade. He will say, I chose not to remember that. And I remember that time that I stole something in seventh grade or I drank too much in high school. He will say, I chose not to remember that. That time I used your name in vain. That time I was selfish or I was prideful. He will stop me in my tracks. And he will say, I chose not to remember that. When Mom held me after I was born, she was holding a baby who had no past. And when I was born again, it was all about today and tomorrow. Let me close with this. My first birth and second birth reminded me that in both cases, I became part of a family. One of the questions that we always get as a staff is worded this way, what do I have to do to be a member of the Hillcrest Church? I don't care for the question, honestly, because it almost makes it sound like membership in an organization is the catch-all. That's the goal. It's not for me. Salvation is the goal. You're saved. God adds you to the church. Membership is like thrown in after the fact. You with me? If you say, Mark, I want to talk to you about membership, I want to talk to you, first of all, about your relationship with Jesus and see where you're at. We don't add people to the church. God does. This is not the lodge. This is not the Elks. My train of thought when I was preparing this took me back to Little Rascals, the original ones, was Stymie. Remember him? So I thought, I remember the pledge to the He-Man Woman Haters Club. It's politically incorrect, but I started writing down thinking, I bet I can quote this word for word. I was close, but not exact. So, and again, we may get flagged on YouTube for this because this is not politically correct, but if you wanted to be a part of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, then you had to take this pledge led by Stymie there with his little beanie cap on. I, Stymie, member in good standing of the He-Man Woman Haters Club, do solemnly swear to hate women, not talk to them or play with them unless I have to, and most especially to never fall in love. And if I do, may I die painfully, slowly, and suffer forever. That's cool. Well, the church is not a club. It's a family. A family, your attitude when you're born again. So years ago, I was just out of high school, and the Rotary Club in Madison, Indiana, called and wanted me to speak. Not because I was a great speaker, but because their speaker canceled, and they probably thought they could get me to fill in. So I did. And I didn't want to just go to the Rotary Club and say, hey, I'm a preacher, and just start talking, you know, about the church. So I showed up, and I began my speech this way. Hi, I'm Mark Fugate, and I'm a preacher, but I'm with a global enterprise. We have branches in every country in the world. We're into motivation and behavior alteration. We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, universities, publishing houses, and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth all the way till death. We specialize in life insurance and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on Earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking. Our CEO was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by his enemies, walked on the water, was condemned to death, and walked out of his own grave. And I have the privilege of talking to him each and every single day. Now listen, you can be born again of the water and the Spirit, and when you do, we'll celebrate just like the day you were born. And when you're born again, you'll have no past, just like the day you were born. And when you're born again, you will become part of a brand new family, just like the day you were born. I don't remember the day I was born, but I will never forget the day I was born again. Amen.